Well, good morning again, and welcome to week 7 in our walk through the book of Hebrews. And it's good to have you, whether you're joining us online this morning or you're here present with us. Now, growing up, many of us heard the legend. We don't know if it's a true story or not, but the legend of George Washington and the cherry tree. And the story goes that when Washington was 6 years old, he received a hatchet as a gift, after which he promptly went and cut down his father's favorite cherry tree. When his father found out about it, he was understandably angry and confronted his son, asking George if he had done it. And at first, little George hesitates, and then he says, "Father, I cannot tell a lie." And according to the legend, his dad was very proud that George told the truth, and he proclaimed that the truth was worth 1,000 cherry trees. I remember one time when I wasn't so truthful with my dad. I was 16 years old. I thought I was invincible. I thought I could drive my car as fast as I wanted. But there was this little thing called road salt. And I was going too fast around the corner when some road salt that was left on the road caused me to skid off the road, headed straight to a gas station, and my choice was a telephone pole or a gas pump. I took the telephone pole right in front of the police station. Now, fortunately, the gas station was closed and nobody was outside of the police station. Now, how they didn't hear it or come out, I don't know. The car started right back up. I backed up and went on my way. And I stopped and I got out and looked at this huge dent in my bumper. Now, what am I going to tell my dad? So all night, I'm out on a date with my girlfriend. I'm thinking of how to tell my dad I wrecked the car. I thought, he's going to kill me, he's going to ground me, he's going to take the keys away from me. This is not going to go well, because I had a lot of dates to go on. So all night long, I thought about it, and I got home, and Dad was in bed. So the next morning, I said, "Dad, you need to know something. Somebody backed into my car." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, it must have happened at school or something. There's a big dent in the front of it." He said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, I just came out and it was there, Dad." And so every day for about 2 weeks, my dad asked me a question about it. Now, mind you, this was a semicircle dent, and I didn't look very closely, but there was bits of telephone pole still embedded into the plastic. And Dad asked me a different question every day. "Did you report it to the police?" "No." "Well, when are you going to do that?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I can't go report to the police this lie, right?" So I put it off. Next day, "Well, did you at least go tell the principal?" "No, Dad, I didn't." And the next day, "Hey, Scott, did you walk through the parking lot? Because there's going to be a car with a matching dent, right?" And every day he picked me apart, till I finally broke down and said, "Dad, I can't do this anymore. I'm lying to you." And it wasn't good. And what hurt the most was telling the truth was very important to my father. He knew the whole time I was lying. He could have come down me on day one, but that 2-week punishment of being grilled and questioned and living with that turmoil was great punishment to me. And it broke my heart that I lied to my dad. And you know, telling the truth is also important to our Heavenly Father. In the Ten Commandments from Exodus, it says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." In Proverbs, we heard Carla read these verses. "There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Of the things that God finds detestable, lying is listed twice. And throughout the Bible, there are many scriptures about truth and lies. And unfortunately, it seems now more than ever, the line between fact and fiction is continually being blurred. With 24-hour news available on the TV and the internet, the race to get our attention has led to stories that are based on rumors and hearsay and not necessarily the truth. It has long been understood that politicians are liars. And now we even assume media are liars too. And if we really want to look at falsehoods, we could really get into how much advertising stretches the truth, don't they? They want you to buy into that thing. I mean, just look at our insurance companies. I don't know who or how people are saving money on insurance. I know I'm paying more than I did 10 years ago, a lot more. Yet, according to the commercials, if you switch to Geico, you can save 10%. But then if you switch to Progressive, they promise to save you even more money, right? Then if you switch to the General, and then you bundle with Jacobs State Farm, after all these savings of hundreds and hundreds of dollars, shouldn't someone be paying me for insurance? And do we expect anything different? Because after all, we quickly learn to be liars from birth. Don't our babies learn that the hunger cry can also be used for a cry for attention? And if you have kids, you know you don't always get the truth, do you? You don't know it, but we actually have 5 children in our house. The other 2 are named I Don't Know, and it wasn't me. Who broke the vase? I don't know. It wasn't me. Yet the vase is broken, and somehow nobody did it. I guess nobody's the 6th child. And there is no bigger liar in the world than a husband. Why? Because we fear the truth. We know if we are truthful, we might get in bigger trouble than if we lie. Because we have to answer questions like, honey, how do I look in my dress? Or questions like, honey, do you want to go shopping with me? Or how about, I think my mother should come and stay for weeks with us. What do you think? And men, can we honestly answer all of those questions? No. So if we are surrounded by lies and half-truths and false witness and misinformation and slander, who or what can we trust? Well, let us go to our scriptures from Hebrews. Hebrews 6, verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. See, in Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham that his descendants would outnumber the stars and that through him all nations would be blessed. This was God's promise, and God kept his promise. Verse 16 says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. I think most of us have taken an oath or swore by something in our lifetimes. In the old days of the court, people would put their hands on the Bible, right, and swear to God not to tell the truth, whole truth, not but the truth. There are sayings like, I swear by my mother's grave. You ever heard something like that? But you see, God had no one to swear to because, well, God is God. He simply made the promise of his own accord. And notice something important, a statement about God, his unchanging nature. The author of Hebrews is telling us God never changes. That's important, people. God never changes. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Now, I think we've all heard crazy questions like, could God create a rock so heavy that he couldn't lift it? I mean, it's just really a way of someone trying to challenge God. Is he all-powerful and all this? It really says nothing about God. There are things about God that are mysterious and difficult to understand. And sometimes it's actually easier to understand what God cannot do. And here we have two absolute truths about God's character. One, God cannot change. And two, it is impossible for God to lie. That is something. It is impossible for God to lie. That means everything in our Bible, cover to cover, is truth. It is God's word, and God's word is the truth, and it is impossible for God to lie. And this should be good news to us. Because verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And I can't even say that word. Carla did much better than I did. But you see here, Danny, here's our tie to the Old Testament, right? We just talked about this in Sunday school. But I love how poetic that beginning sounds, doesn't it? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. When everything comes crashing around you and everything seems to be falling apart, God's word is like an anchor for your soul. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you solid. It keeps you in place, firm and secure. All world is an ever-changing and uncertain place. But there is one thing we can find hope in, that it is impossible for God to lie. God promised Abraham many descendants, didn't he? Abraham lived only to see one descendant, and that was Isaac. But we know from Scripture that that promise has been fulfilled, right? Because through Isaac we had Jacob, through Jacob we had the 12 tribes, and through the 12 tribes we had a whole nation. And God made promises to David, to Solomon, and to all the other prophets. God promised a Savior from the line of David, and that was fulfilled. We are told Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is God's truth made manifest. And we are promised the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And God cannot lie. We have been promised that Jesus has gone to go and prepare a place for us, and Jesus has promised to come again. God cannot lie. We have been promised a new heaven and a new earth where it says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. And God's word is God's word, for it is impossible for God to lie. And that should make us jump for joy. That should bring out a few amens. That's your cue. Just making sure you're with me here. Now you have to ask yourself, is this what you firmly believe? Do you believe that God is who He says He is? Do you believe that God will deliver on His promises? Or do you believe what the world tells us about God? Do you believe what the world tells us about His Scriptures? See, through God's promises, we are given two choices. Here's our first choice. We can choose to love God, seek forgiveness, choose salvation through Jesus Christ, and live in faithful service to God. And with this choice, God promises, a God who cannot lie, says we will have eternal life with Him in the new heaven and a new earth. That's choice number one. Or we have a second choice. We can ignore God's call to turn away from our sins. We can choose to live our lives by our ways. We can choose to ignore the Bible. We can choose the ways of the world over salvation in Jesus Christ. But you see, God's word is clear. The consequences of these choices is eternal separation from God in hell. Now, we don't really like to talk about that stuff, do we? We really don't like to go there. We like to focus on the fluff. We like to focus on the warm and fuzzy Jesus, right? Who's like the big teddy bear you can just cuddle up with and tell you everything's okay. But if it is impossible for God to lie, then the truth is the truth. And there will be consequences if we do not choose the truth. So the question becomes, what are you going to choose? Do you choose the truth and choose to live by the truth? Or are you going to choose the falsehoods? Are you going to choose the myths, the lies, the people that are directing us away from God's word to say, no, that's not what it really says? Would a God of love really do that? Yes, a God of love would really condemn people to hell. I'm not talking about anyone's sin. Any sin is worthy of condemnation to hell. But we are also a God of promises. God who has promised us grace and mercy and love and redemption, if we will simply fall on our knees and confess our sins to Jesus Christ, He says, I will forgive you. And if you choose to be my follower, you will have eternal life. That is a promise. That should make us excited. That should make us stand in the face of all the world is dumping on us right now. Should be our anchor for our soul. Should make us say, you know what? Bring it on, world, because I've got the end. I've got victory. I'm going to live in a place of eternity in the presence of God the Almighty, where we don't even need sunshine because God's light is so bright. There's not going to be any day or night. It's all going to be glory in front of God. And singing and praising and love and reunions and all these amazing things that are promised in the Scripture. But it has to come with faith. It has to come with obedience. And we have to be willing to stand up for the truth. Because Jesus Christ said, if you're willing to deny me in front of others, I will deny you before my Father. God is a God of truth. God cannot lie. What truth will you choose today? Let us pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we learn so much about you through your word. From the beginning of creation to the end of time, you have told us about your love, about your desire to be in relationship with us. But you've also told us about the right way to have a relationship with you. And Lord, we don't understand what happens to us spiritually or cosmically, but we know that our sin separates us from you. Lord, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to break the barrier of sin, to make it possible for us to come straight to you, to give you our hearts, to confess of our sins, and to turn our lives into living for you.
Lord, for those who do not know this salvation, for those who do not know this grace, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will work on them until they come to the point of acknowledgement, to the point of repentance, the point of confession, to claim you as their God, the God of truth. Lord, lead us and guide us in all that we do. May we always point people towards the truth, to you, God, who never changes and can never lie. This we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's a great song, Trust and Obey. For there is no other way. It's not just about being good. It's not just about being spiritual or any other way the world says there is of getting to God. There are people who teach that all gods lead to the same place. Well, I'm telling you, the God of truth that I worship is the God of truth and the only truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to him except for by Jesus Christ. Now, if you're already on this faith journey, I'm here to be with you. That's why we gather. That's why we worship. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have other opportunities to lead us and guide us, to keep us on that path of truth and righteousness. But let me be clear. I don't care if you've been in this church 80 years. I don't care if you've given offering every day of your life. If you do not believe the truth and if you do not repent of your sins, you will not go to heaven. It's about choices. It's about truth and about serving a God who cannot lie. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather and worship as your people. And allow us to continue to honor and worship and praise and bless you as we move on down to the other side of the church to partake in this meal. Lord, we are grateful for the hands and the people that have prepared this meal. But Lord, more importantly, may our fellowship, may our friendship, may our time together nourish our souls and continue to strengthen each other so that we can share in the same faith and hope and journey together. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.